SA's fabulous history buff Keith Conlon is lifting the lid on our past this weekend at the Normanville Hotel for Horrible Histories, exploring Adelaide and the Flurio. He joins us now to share some stories. He might even bust into song. We'll see. Hi, Keith.
Hi, Jenny. Just a bit rough singing at 10 past 10 in the morning, isn't it? But, I mean, you're certainly right that the horrible history of Adelaide, which is, me and my musical mate, who's a fabulous piano player and muso, we kind of get into really some of the basics of our history, but lean it towards the shenanigans and the schmozzles, shall we say.
Yes. And when we say horrible, it's a bit tongue-in-cheek a little bit, right?
Well, yeah, it's that, well, the idea, you take me back to the very idea of this, that I was sitting in a history festival forum going back 4 or 5 years with a terrific history teacher, and Elspeth says to me, as we're sitting on the stools in the panel, you know, we've got to get the kids more involved, and they love horrible history. And she's referring back to a British TV series.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'll pinch the name. I hope they're not listening. And, and basically, this is therefore the horrible history of Adelaide. It's all true. And there's a kind of undercurrent of, I hope, good stuff for people to remember or get interested in behind it. But we've got plenty of silly stuff in our past, I tell you.
Oh, I'm sure we do. So, before we talk Flurio history, tell us a little bit about Adelaide. Maybe a couple of blokes like Gouger and Wakefield. What were they all about?
Well, exactly. Gouger, Wakefield, and Light. They've got to get a Guernsey, don't they? Now, and Wakefield, I mean, we are called the Wakefield Scheme. And you know, he's got a plaque on Parliament House, Edward Gibbon Wakefield. But most people don't know much about him. He's got a streak too, hasn't he? Wakefield Street. Most people don't know too much about him. He's a complex character, shall we say, which is a nice way of saying he had a good side and a pretty dark side as well. The theoretician side, the philosopher, the thinking about how a new colony could look and how it could work, he's onto all that because he's interested in what's happening in Canada, and he doesn't, along with Gouger, his mate, they don't want to do that convict settlement model. They think there could be something better. And so he actually writes, way back in 1829, he writes a sort of report of his own, and it's published in a newspaper in London. It's called A Letter from Sydney. But there's just a little bit of a trick to that, because where was he at the time? He was in Newgate Prison.
Oh,
so
right.
He was in jail.
What was he in jail for?
Oh, well, that's the dark side. He had an unfortunate predilection from running off with underage heiresses.
Mm-hmm.
He did it once, and actually they disappeared off, and maybe they, you know, maybe things are all right, but sadly his wife and baby died.
Oh,
he came back, and he's back in London, and he did it again. And this time he's persuaded a 16 or 70-year-old lass to go up to Gretna Green and get married, and then they whip off to France. The parents are onto him, though. Mm-hmm. They send the gendarmes and bring him back. And he's in prison. So he's, I mean, it's a weird sort of person in our past, but he does have the right kind of theory to get us off the ground. He says systematic colonisation is all about the people with the money, they buy the land, and they've got an opportunity to make good in a totally new place where there's no religion, where you don't have to be a toff, you don't have to be an aristocrat or, you know, the landed gentry to get on in life. You can start afresh. And the money that we get from you, we're going to then bring out the people who will work the land, the labourers, we'll bring them out for nothing. So they weren't £10 pomps, they were nothing at all pomps.
Mm.
On the ship you went, and we had hundreds and hundreds of young men and women come out under that scheme. And so there'll be some of their descendants listening today.
I bet. And then what
about... So Wakefield's an interesting cat, isn't he? And Gouger's his mate. Gouger is what I describe in the show as a ratbag radical.
Ooh.
In the nicest possible way. I love him.
Yeah, how so?
Well, he was anti-transportation, he was anti-hanging, he was anti-slavery, he was for freedom of religion, you know, no set religion. He's got all those things going. And the biggest deal of all, I think, it shows how, you know, far ahead of his time he was advocating universal suffrage, which translates into votes for ordinary people sweeping the streets, and for women, women of all things.
Wow, back in the day, that was quite the opinion to have.
We're talking the 1830s, and women didn't get the vote in England until after the First World War. He's 90 years ahead of his time.
Now, we're talking about some of the main people who founded South Australia. Colonel Light was one of them.
Colonel Light, of course.
The surveyor. I think a lot of us know who he was and what he was about.
Yep.
He found Rapid Bay, I hear.
He did indeed. See, he's got the job of finding a site for the city, and he's got a long list of things it's got to be. It's got to have water, needs a harbour, got to have a lovely fertile soil around it. So when he first got here in late August of 1836, the first settlers are already on Kangaroo Island waiting for him to arrive, waiting for the governor to arrive, and they had to wait for months, of course. So when he first gets here, his first landing point on the mainland, actually, he went round the bottom of Kangaroo Island, and he pulls up somewhere probably around Goolwa, the Coorong. And, of course, if you're looking for fertile and good soil and all that, you've got plenty of water, but he's not impressed. Then he goes to Kangaroo Island, he greets the people who are already waiting there at Reeves Point, now close to Kingscote. And same thing. They're thinking, oh, the soil's not too flashy. So Kangaroo Island needed some scientific intervention to be the place that it is today for farming.
Yeah, right.
So, no, that's not too flash. So then he comes back and he's using Flinders charts, and he's got some advice from Captain Barker, his crew, who'd been through in 1831. He's got a bit of stuff to look for. And he arrives at Rapid Bay. Well, he was in heaven. He was euphoric, and so we actually, there's a little number pops up there. Heaven, I'm in heaven, because he walked up the valley. There's a creek. It's beautiful.
Oh,
you know, the
gorgeous.
Grass is growing. It's the middle of summer. He can tell this is a really lovely spot, as it is today. And why does he name it Rapid Bay? Well, that's the name of his ship.
Uh-huh.
So Rapid Bay. There we go.
There you go.
Then he walks up within a couple of... By the way, he sets up his surveyors there. They're camped there for weeks, a whole lot of them, because he's, of course, still got to find the site, and he's got to go all over the place. So in the meantime, they camp there. He, in the very first days, though, walks up through to the second valley. There it is, Second Valley. There's a bit of a story about how it had another name and then it lost it and all that sort of jazz.
Oh.
And he even walks through a bit further to Yankalilla. And Yankalilla's a name that's already on a map. The sealers and the whalers have come through and they've picked up a name. It's obviously a Kaurna name. And they've just picked it up. There's one real furphy. There's one theory that goes that it was actually an American whaler, and he had a ship called the Lily, or maybe a daughter called Lily, and somehow therefore it was Yanka Lily. That's all nonsense.
Nonsense. Oh, there's so much nonsense out there, isn't there, Keith?
Oh, plenty of nonsense. Yeah, that's all in the show. So we work our way up there, and then of course you've got Normanville, and now Norman. Who was Norman?
Yeah, who's Norm?
Who's Norm? Yeah, he was actually Robert Norman. He was a really interesting coot, actually. I've got to know him a bit more writing this part of the show.
Yeah.
He was our first proper dental surgeon, had a practice on North Terrace. He gets here in the 1840s. He's a very learned character. He speaks about four languages. He's a Shakespearean scholar. And he created an artificial hand for a bloke who had to have it amputated.
Wow.
And that's somewhere in the Royal Adelaide Hospital's research or museum or somewhere. We ought to get that out, shouldn't we?
Sounds like he's ahead of his time as well.
That's the fascinating thing about South Australia. It attracts a lot of really bright, interesting, and maybe adventurous people.
Mm.
And so he's one of them. So he also would like to make a quid. So he buys up some land when it comes up for sale down at Yankalilla Way. And he then says in 1851, I think I'll set up a town here. There you go.
Easy.
Normanville. Just like that.
Oh, wow.
And then he builds the pub. So
the
it's
pub.
The Normie. So
oh,
the Normie is him as well.
Very important. It's a priority.
Of course. You must have a pub.
Of course.
And that leads us to the fact that it was a port.
Yes.
And it's careless to lose one jetty. It's getting really serious when you lose two. How many jetties do you reckon they built at Normanville or nearby?
Oh, look. I'd be completely making it up.
Have a stab.
Three.
Four.
Oh, okay. I was close.
And what happens to them all?
They aren't strong enough.
Exactly. Mm. They get washed away. Aww. Storms. So we'll do a routine where we get the audience to do the storm for us, and then it just could involve us in sitting on the beach at how does that song go? Sitting here on Normanville Bay.
Right. And so what people are
here
like...
here on Normanville Bay. And we'll get them to sing. You know, it is compulsory. There's a bit of community
involved. So, Keith, this is something I've been desperately wanting to know about. So Normanville and Yankalilla had quite the competitive beef.
Well, yeah, there's a big beef on in the 19th century for this newfangled thing called the telegraph, which is going to bring telegrams, of course. You know, before that, how do you get news? Well, you've got to wait for a ship to turn up at Port Adelaide, and then you've got to get it back down to Normanville on a catch. And, you know, it's taking months to get any news from home, as they called it, back in England. So the telegraph's going to revolutionise South Australia, and for that matter, the whole of Australia. A fellow called Charles Todd River, and all that. He's the man behind the Overland Telegraph, which is celebrating its 150th year this year. It's a big celebration. But he is also busy making it happen all around South Australia. So who's going to get the telegraph station? That is the question. There's a hilarious report of this wild meeting that goes on between the two towns.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed, really. It's a proper do. We'll delve into that as well. And the winner is Normanville.
Spoiler.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. The other one that fascinated me of the many tales was that Yankalilla was really hoping it would get a train.
Right.
When the Wollonga train went in, you know, the Wollonga line winds its way, you know, as the new line takes a different route these days down to Seaford. But the Wollonga train used to wind its way through Morfitt Vale and blah, blah. It gets to Wollonga, and you can still ride on the bike trail, as we did just a few weeks ago. But once it got to Wollonga and they're planning that, the people at Yankalilla say, we don't want to come down here. Why don't we come all the way?
Yeah.
Well, they tried, they didn't succeed, but in the end they won a consolation prize, which you'll have to come to the show to find out about.
Ah, I see what you're doing there. All right, so it's Horrible Histories, Normanville Hotel, 7:30 p.m. this Saturday, right?
Yeah, lots of singing, lots of fun, and interjections are welcome.
Keith Conlon, an absolute pleasure. I'd love to talk to you in future, maybe next month, about the old Murray Bridge, which is getting a redevelopment. Would love to hear a bit about the history.
Love the old Murray Bridge. Yeah, we'll do it. Let's do it.
All right. Sounds good to me.
Thanks, Jenny.